Have you ever said something to someone and their response was, "You must be out of your mind"? Well, Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, that was the response he got. You must be out of your mind. So turn with me, if you will, to Paul's second letter to the church at Corinth, chapter 5, beginning at verse 12. We are reading today from the New King James Version. And our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 611 of your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. "For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. Or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind. Ambassadors of grace. Ambassadors of grace. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditations of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, amen. In Paul's first letter to the church at Corinth, he rebuked them for a number of practices which the church had begun and which they had started to go astray. They had corrupted the Lord's Supper, and what they really had was a big wine party. They had nothing to do with Christ. And the church also had a number of other problems, such as cliques in the church, sexual immorality, Christians suing one another in court, and the eating of meat offered to idols. So they were a church that was messed up in a lot of ways, and Paul wrote them about those things. He addressed all those things in his first letter. And some in the church at Corinth accused Paul of taking too much authority upon himself, said, "You must be out of your mind." So in the second letter, Paul defends his apostleship, his authority, and his ministry as coming directly from God. He said in chapter 4 of that same book, he said, "For it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." The ministry and the message are from God, Paul says. I'm just a messenger. I'm just an ambassador bringing you the word of God. And an ambassador is one who goes forth representing another. Christ left his church in the world to be God's ambassador to the world. As ambassadors, we need to understand the nature of our mission. What is our message? And why are we being sent? We need to understand that these things before we can become effective ambassadors. And how do we do that? Well, the answer is in the text. So let's turn to this text so we may understand the reasons that we must go forth as ambassadors for God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14, Paul writes these words. "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." We must go forth as God's ambassadors because God has called us to the work. God has called us to the work. And the God who calls to the work is the God who justified us for that work. The death of Jesus Christ on the cross was God's justification for calling us into service. Justification means righteousness, and Christ's death provided for our righteousness. If Christ died for everyone, that means that everyone is dead spiritually unless they receive the life that only Christ can give. So then if we have received that life that only Christ can give, then Christ was justified in calling us into his service, calling us to do his will, calling us to be dedicated to doing those things that he's laid out for us. The God who calls us to the work is the God who dedicates us for his work. So many people in this world ask the question, why am I here? Or what is the purpose of my life? Here's the answer: to give glory to God. We were created to give glory to God. We were saved to give glory to God. That's our purpose and that's our dedication, to give glory to God. But how do we do that? How do we bring glory to God? Well, we do that by doing those things that God is pleased with. God is concerned that the strong help the weak. God is concerned that the innocent receive justice. And God is concerned that the guilty would not only receive justice, but every now and then receive mercy. You can see those traits in God. He helps the weak. He provides justice for the innocent. And he even forgives the guilty every now and then. So we need to be about those things. We give glory to God when we learn how to do those things that God does. No one who is saved should ever ask the question, what is my purpose in life? But rather they should ask, how can I live in such a way as to bring glory to God? And that's the greatest thing that you can do with your life, dedicated to the glory of God. And that should not be a difficult thing to do when we remember what we have received from God. We should be willing to dedicate ourselves to the Lord since he has given us a new life to live. We should live it to the glory of his name. And God saved us for that very purpose. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are saved not by our good works, not by our good deeds, but we are saved so that we can do good works and so that we can do good deeds. We are saved so we can do those things that God has always had in the plan for our life. He saved us so we would be able to do those things. And to fully understand this, we need to look at some of the words that Jesus himself spoke concerning being dedicated to himself. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 39, he says, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. And what does Jesus mean by this? Well, Jesus is saying that those who try to live their lives independent of him will miss the mark. They will never find what they're seeking in this life, and they will miss out on life eternal. But those who give their life over to him, dedicate to doing those things which he has called them to do, they'll find a life of joy and fulfillment that will never end. In the Old Testament, the prophet Micah also gives an answer to this question, what is my purpose and what does God want me to do? In Micah 6 and 8, he says, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly, that means to do what's right. Most people know what is right. Even when they're doing wrong, they know the right thing to do. God calls us to do the right thing that we know we should be doing. And to love mercy is an indication of God's presence in our lives when we can forgive those who have done wrong and show mercy instead of vengeance. And to walk humbly with God. Walking with God will make you humble. If you're truly walking with God, you will be humble because God's greatness will reveal your smallness. And that comparison will always make you humble. But if you're walking by yourself, you can be as proud as you want, if it's just you and yourself. But if you're walking with God, pride has to go. Pride has to leave you, and humbleness comes upon you. God has called the church to the greatest work that there is, the work of declaring his message of life to a dying world. And if you're part of the church, then God has called you to this work. And it's a privilege and honor to be a part of God's great plan. And yet many act as though they're doing God a favor by serving him. Have you been faithful in attending worship service so that you have learned the things of God? Well, so good. God has called you to do that. Have you been faithful to give God of your substance, of your tithes and offering? Well, good. God has called you to do that. Have you been diligent to walk upright before God and man so that the name of Christ is not put to shame? Good, I hope you are. God has called you to do that. But after you've done all that and more for a lifetime, you're still in God's debt. Because nothing that we can do in this brief time down here will compare to God's forgiveness of our sins and bringing us into eternal fellowship with him. We'll be forever in his debt. We can never repay God, and he doesn't expect us to. All he asks is that we be faithful in his service, that we come when we're called, and that we go when we're sent. And we must go because God has called us to be his ambassadors. God has called us, but that's not all that God has done. When God calls you, he has already prepared you to answer his call. Look at what he says in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We must go forth as God's ambassador because God has changed us for the work. God has changed us for this work. God has given you the freedom from the things that once held you captive. You have to let go of all those excuses for not doing what you should be doing because God has made you able. There was a time you said, I'm not able to do this, but God has made you able. He has freed you from the things that held you back. And now he's waiting for you to do those things that he's called you to do. The person that used to be not able to resist sin is dead, dead and buried. And now you're living a new life that God has called you to do. There's a new you living within you, and this you has been created by the Holy Spirit in the image of Jesus Christ to the glory of God. But look at what the scripture says. If anyone be in Christ, then all these things are true. Old things have passed away and everything become new. But if you're not in Christ, then nothing will really change no matter how hard you try to make it happen. If you're not in Christ, then you're not a new creation, and the old man, that old sin slave, is still reigning on the inside. And I have news for you. You can't change that old nature of yours. You can make surface changes. You can fake it for a little while. But sooner or later, that old man will show up for what he is and who he is and at the worst possible time. You can't change your old nature. You can just replace it with the new nature that God gives you. That's why the text says he is a new creation. God has created something new in you that was not there before. You now have a new spirit. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You have a new nature. And that means you begin to look at the world in a whole new way. You no longer seek things for your own benefit only, but now you begin to seek things for the benefit of others. And that's the clearest indication of the new nature, that selfishness will begin to pass away out of your life. You now have new possibilities. You're not capable of doing things that you could not have imagined before. God has taken away your excuses. You can now declare like Paul in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But you have to nourish this new nature, even though the old nature has been replaced. It's not gone. If you're not careful, you begin to yield to old habits, and sin will entice you, and your old nature will try to reemerge and take you back to the bondage from which you escaped. So you must feed your new nature, the nature that God is creating in you. Your new nature feeds on the Word of God. And it thrives on obedience to God. And it feasts on communion with God. And that's what you have to do. You have to stay in the Word. You have to be obedient to the Word. You have to commune with God, communicate with God. God has made you a new creation. You're responsible for the growth of God's new creation. So we must go forth as God's ambassador because he has changed us for the work that he's called us to do. You've been made a new creation. God has set all new possibility before you. All things have become new. God's made you a new creation so you could do the work that he's called you to do. And as great as that is, that's not all that God has done. He called us to the work. He changed us for the work. And then he did something else to ensure that his work would get done. Look at verse 18. It says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. We must go forth as God's ambassador because God has committed us to this work. God has committed us to this work. God has committed the spreading of the gospel to you and I. It depends on us. It depends on us. That's an awesome commitment. Why he chose to do that way, I don't know. I would have chosen some other way. But God has chosen to lay it all on us. And it seemed like an awful risk, but that's what God did. God saved us through Christ so that we could pass the message of salvation on to others. Reconciliation means bringing back together. Adam and Eve had a natural fellowship with God. That fellowship was broken by sin. Christ came and paid the price for all mankind, and now God offers forgiveness of sin and the restoration of the fellowship with all mankind. The Ministry of Reconciliation says, spread the word. Spread the word. If you've been saved, spread the word. Look at verse 20. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. God has given us the task of telling the world that their sins can be forgiven. So many people live under the guilt of sin, and it's a vicious circle. The guilt of sin keeps you from coming to God to get the forgiveness of sin that you need. So many people in this world that we live don't even know that forgiveness is available. They think because they've sinned, they're forever lost. In fact, in our country and society today, we've declassified sin and we deny guilt to the point where we no longer see sin as the source of our problem. So God has sent us out with the word. The problem is sin. The answer is Christ. The penalty has been paid. Be reconciled to God. That's God's message. That's God's message. And look at why that's possible. Verse 21 tells us, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. How great is God? How great is God? He took his son who had never committed sin and made him sin for man's sake so that he could take man who has no righteousness and give him the righteousness of Christ. So when Christ hung on the cross, God saw our sins. And when we stand before God, God will see his son in us, righteous, holy, and pure. Praise his holy name. Ambassadors are representatives. And just as God sent Christ to be the representative between heaven and earth, we now carry on that mission. Many have not heard of the reality of the love of God. They don't know about the love of God. And there's no way of understanding how real God is unless you and I, who have experienced the love of God, tell them. That's the only way they'll know. If God has done something in your life, you ought to tell somebody about it. And that's the job of an ambassador, pass on the message of the one who sent him. We need to pass on the message of the King. Mark 16:15 gives us our prime directive that Jesus told the church as he was about to leave. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. God is looking for those who will go for him. Now remember the passage in scripture where Isaiah the prophet in the 6th chapter of the book bearing his name said he saw a vision of God on his throne with the angels sitting on each side of the throne crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And he said he saw the holiness of God, and Isaiah said when he saw that, he said, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And he said, one of the angels flew and took a hot coal and touched it to his lips, and now your sin has been purged, and your lips have been cleaned. And he said, then he heard God say, who shall we send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. That should be our dedication. That should be our declaration of the church. Here we are, Lord. Send us. Here we are. We want to be ambassadors for you because that's what you called us to do. We want to be ambassadors for you because that's what you changed us to do. We want to be ambassadors for you because that's what you committed to us to do. We must go forth as ambassadors because we've been called to this work. God, who knows the end from the beginning, has selected us to be his witnesses. So we must go forth. We must go forth as God's ambassador because God has changed us for this work. God has created us anew in the image of his son so we'll be able to do his work and his will. We must go forth. We must go forth as God's ambassador because God has committed to us the work. God has left the task of spreading the gospel in our hands. If we don't do it, it won't get done. We must go forth and tell God's story. We must tell this dying world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We must tell this sin-blinded world that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We must tell this love-starved world that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We must tell this death-frightened world that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. That is our great commission. Jesus' last word to those of us who make up the church were these. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. That is our call. That is our commission, to be ambassadors for God. In just a moment, I'm going to have an altar call. If you've heard the call of God this morning, you want to answer that call, we invite you to come. You need to know that God accepts you right now, just as you are. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to come back later. Right now, while the blood is running warm in your veins, come, because the sacrifice has already been made. The price has already been paid. God wants you to be his ambassador. God wants you to tell his story. But before you can go for God, you have to come to God. If you would like to be an ambassador for God, then you must join his team. You join God by faith in Jesus Christ. For if you can believe that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Come while the blood is running warm in your veins. Come and confess Jesus, and you'll become an ambassador for God. Come and join this fellowship as a candidate for baptism, or come by your Christian experience. The important thing is that you come. You don't need to wait. Come forward. As we stand right now, as the choir can give us a song, we invite you to come. But there are others who should come also. If you're a member of this church already and you realize that God is calling you to rededicate yourself to the work of the kingdom, then you need to come. Come and ask God to give you the strength to answer the call and do the work which he's called you to do. If I'm speaking to your situation, you need to come. Come right now for prayer. Come in prayer and ask the Lord to give you that strength to keep you moving toward the goal. You need to come right now. But there are others who should come as well. If you just want to thank God for the love with which he kept you all along the way, for the guidance which he provides for you every day, for the joy that he brings to your heart every day, for the peace that he brings to your soul every day, for the power that he wraps you up with every day. If you just want to thank him for that, we invite you to come. Come to the altar of God, all who desire prayer. The doors of God's church are open.